Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it out.
Hands up, eyes open, the fist clear. Face and leave some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Not trying to party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level, hoe. Or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfected, pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will cast a cover to my last drop, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch, for we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gon' turn cold, my nigga, I can never trade. I never cross my homies out, that ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto, where I slung and rapped it every day. Never do no other way, this ain't gon' never change. Never gon' bite my tongue, fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself, I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down, do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying, that's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money, that's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young, feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Rage.
in the griddle in the middle like Moni. You're phony cause your style's baloney, but that rock's no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock your bodies in the chiller. The way you bust it up, I'll chuck nasty sound like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I feel you deep beneath the surface. It's the rage from Paige, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel on back boat, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, an alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style sharp as cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So breaker, breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll on with that chicken shit to pluckin'. You're stuckin', stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your toothin'. A teethin', believe this shit, butthead just get played out like Beavis. Receive it, it's sure, it's lyrical murder, but still rockin' on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm an explosive vocalist, make your ear just to focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyrically the locust, what? It's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent, hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking outside. Cause I slam like collision for your vision to me. And you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it. Like Moby, running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, yeah. Rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slamming through the radio in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away, cut down, mowed away, curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC Cold Killer. When I cock back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rock that the dawn.
Radio. I got the phone locked, so you can't call in to the studio, But feel free to call in 929-477-3785 and press 1. We coming to you live and direct every which way you want to my aid. Every which way, including news. We coming to you, we throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink. It's a weekly program of the Black Panther Party Cubs, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and also Robert Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Let's get locked and loaded. Shotgun. Let's get locked and loaded to make history. Right on. Let's get locked and loaded to make history, take history, and tape history, y'all. Real talk, we moving and grooving, you know what I'm saying? It's been a crazy day, you know what I'm saying? We're going to just catch my breath real quick now. Man. Oh, man. One good thing is seeing some sun out here in Chicago for the first time, I don't know how long. That's, whew, man, that's something. A little bit warm. No, I'm back in Chicago. Sometimes I don't be knowing I'm at. I'm scared I'm going to do like that comedian they come on stage. So we love you, Detroit. They be like, man, this Cincinnati. You don't know where you at. But we are moving. We're grooving. We're organizing, politicizing. We have not come down from the phenomenal moves that are being made. I don't even know where to start with the updates at. You know, we're talking about the continuous momentum in regards to homeland, Mother Africa. We're talking about the other motherland here. Oakland, California, the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. It's been bam, 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 continuous, you know what I'm saying, continuous. And it's, you know, Chairman Freer said, we are too proletarian, revolutionary, intoxicated to be astronomically intimidated. In other words, in plain layman terms, too high for people to be shook up. So, what's at stake here? What's going down here? So much. I know we have supposed to be coming in today in regards to that we don't care health care in regards to the subsequent death of her mother. So we'll see if she comes in. We're waiting on her. If you listen in, we get the studio live and direct. Those who missed the phenomenal event for Minister UEP Newton's, Minister Dr. UEP Newton's 80th birthday. Phenomenal. Forces from all over the world came in, all over the world. You did. Also, clinch fist salute, happy belated birthday to Daniel Kaluuya, you know what I'm saying, brother? I mean, in this, we say the movement continues. It was just acknowledged with the WCP Image Award. But I'm going to say that's a revolutionary leap. I ain't going to bite my tongue, I ain't going to cut no corners. I've been very critical. We've been very critical in regards to these award shows and what they reference as image shows. And we still got some concerns and contradictions. I mean, there are still some contradictions. But the deal is to get that Panther Cub political pill in the applesauce. You know what I'm saying? It was a phenomenal move. And I want to talk about, I spoke at a school today and talked about, you know, the impact, you know, the struggle, the moves that we've been able to do with the movie. We're still talking about the educational, forgive me, y'all, I'm getting my coffee right now, the curriculum, education curriculum that, you know, this came out, you know, with the Black Panther Party Cubs, Hampton House, participant media, and that, you know, and how it's still ongoing impact. The relationships that we still have with people, you know, so I see my sister Alicia Joy Power just tapping in right now. Hold on, what else? The writing team won an award for NAACP. Oh, right on. And I don't know if you're YouTube like it. Okay. Oh, my fault. It ain't going live. Thank you. Somebody just told me. Okay, right on, sister. Okay. YouTube ain't going live. Right on. Give thanks. I moved too fast. I got to. We got work on get my tech team, you know what I'm saying? The YouTube ain't even going live. Brother Ben in the building. Karan, I see y'all. Free them all. You know, I'm rich and checking in. Right on. Good to see all y'all. So you're right. Okay, now we live on YouTube now. I was not on live on YouTube at first. Forgive me. Members of this cast, the ongoing relationship, you know, and this, you know, it's been ongoing. The director's producer, you know what I'm saying, Shaka King, my nephew, Ryan Coogler, Charles King, I mean, all the cast, ongoing, you know what I'm saying, just again, it was, and it is, historical move, Judas and Black Messiah, you know what I'm saying? So I will say, for those who've not seen it, but I don't know what you're waiting on, you know what I'm saying? Go check it out. Still, you know what I'm saying? Discussion, check it out. Speaking of participant media, latest move that we're working on, you know, shout out to those that anybody's listening, feel free to call in. Okay, come on, okay, I know we're going to start here. I anticipated this today. I actually did. Free them all. Okay, sisters, I'm on the radio now. You should do it. Are you in front of the building? Are you in front of the building now? Okay, someone's coming down. Say, let you in. Open the door right there. Can you come on in here? Go see. Park in the back on the side of the street. All right. Okay, I anticipated. Okay, now my volume is going. I know. Let me start this over again. I call myself in another phone today. Okay, let's get this going. Y'all forgive me. Okay, we're back live now. Back live, okay, right on. I think the sister coming in was talking about the case with a mother's death in the hospital that we're going to go into tomorrow's hearing. What's going on? In fact, Comrade Cool, you can see if Mary Lou is free in about 45 minutes, so she can call in. We have her on to give us the basic, I want to touch down with you, because we try to use every campaign as an educational process and bring people to certain points of unity. Well, we're talking about the Free Fred campaign when I was held captive, or we're talking about the Save the Hampton House campaign, is to really up the ante, heighten the contradiction so people can relate to the details of, you know, saying, what, you know, how does this go? You know, like, I mean, just for example, you know, when you're talking about political prisoners, a lot of times these issues are detached from the people. And it's people say, well, I don't understand what a habeas corpus is. I don't know if I can, you know, the legal dynamics. But the way we organize it, we take the campaign to the masses of the people, so people themselves can relate to it, identify with it. In layman's terms, the Save the Hampton House campaign, there were countless of people that came and said, you know what, man, my grandfather worked all his life, they're about to take his house. And you expose the contradiction to the point that I think it was Brother Mario Rio, the Recorder of Deeds office in Cook County, has said this is one of the most blatant examples of predatory loans in regards to the Hampton House, in regards to my grandparents. And we would find out there are so many commonalities with the contradictions that we are subjected to, the we don't care health care system in hospitals. So we try to do it in a way that is objective, analytical. In other words, that it's not just, like I tell people, like, you never heard me say the police killed my daddy. And see, subjectivity stunts one's ability to make proper summations. A lot of people are even conscious of it, how they just me and I, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with my brother. I just spoke in Wisconsin, and I was talking to the brother. And I said, you say yourself short, you sell a summation short, because one of the tactics of the system is to keep you isolated, keep it, you know what I'm saying, on your block, to correlate these contradictions to something that happened in the past, or you know what I'm saying. Any of your counterparts, you know what I'm saying? So our politics, on the other hand, we attempt to heighten the contradictions. You know what I'm saying? It's not just some abstract that we all come together, but potential allies, you know what I'm saying? Because you cut yourself from allies that can address certain contradictions. You come in, you know, you hear the meme, black women are going through, or black men are going through, and there are certain peculiarities, certain unique dynamics with that. But the mass, the people, you feel what I'm saying? And to put that in the fight for that, you know what I'm saying? I said a number of occasions, though the government assassinated Chairman Fred, my father, in a graphic depiction, brutally, the deal is this system attempts, and successful in many ways, to take out all of our fathers and all of our mothers in one way or another, to whether it be to shoot them down, string them out on some sort of narcotics, punk them out, lock them up, so on and so forth. And then it's to politicize this, you know, and that's the deal. So, We'll be talking about these contradictions here today. So we hope even with this campaign, the historical landmark status, the contradictions. Why should they be discussed about, you know, Chairman Fred? Why has not it been before a historical landmark? What's the history? The hearing. How does the hearings go? How do they operate? So on and so forth. So these are the type of discussions we're gonna have, and that's it's a way we deal with contradictions. It's a way that we deal with contradictions, and it's a way that we heighten the contradictions. A lot of people, try to keep, because being to say the fact that being oppressed is embarrassing. A lot of times people try to keep it subjective to you. Like I was talking to a brother yesterday. I see, including myself. I'm not even conscious of it. I see, you can tell, when someone has been in prison. You know what I'm saying? Including myself. I said, when you eat, how you hover down, mother comrade was even commenting about it. How you cover down over it. You know what I'm saying? And this is not something on individual. You know what I'm saying? The climate and conditions. You know what I'm saying? I told, like, even how I eat fast. You know what I'm saying? Because the impact, the dynamics of being held captive. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to the family dinner table, being up in a gun tower, you know what I'm saying? And child line running, and that sticks in your brain, sticks in you. Guards have shot at me while we at the chow hall, you know what I'm saying? It sticks in my memory. I thought you watched that TV show Chicago PD, and then thought Sergeant Voigt asked, wow, they done this. I said, it's ironic. Because the police had shot at me through the gun tower in Stateville in August, I believe, 98, was Voigt. His name was Voigt. You know what I'm saying? Shotgun, and one of the Mexicano prisoners that jumped between it and called the buckshots in his collarbone. This is in Stateville, what you call Deathville. And that sticks with you. So it's kind of hard. So enjoy your meal. Eat slow. You know what I'm saying? Because you get to have your head on a swivel. You know what I'm saying? I'm using that term loosely. So these dynamics, you know what I'm saying, it impacts, who we are, you know what I'm saying, and when you have a subjective analysis, you know what I'm saying, what is this? Oh, you got to be jabbing me. You can't make this up. Now my Instagram is going to be the verified, it's my account all of a sudden, right? Well, you can't make this up. Wow. And, Can't make this up. So Instagram, when I know verify this my account, what are you doing?
You still going live? It seems like, though. Let me see. It says live. It says you're live.
You can see me still?
Let me double check. Let me double check. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll deal with that later then. Okay. They telling me I gotta give them something.
Let me see.
I don't see this. I gotta give them a code or something. See me with the technology.
You still live?
Yeah, it's mine is called.
I can't see me on there. I'm still going live right now. Last time.
I don't want
to. Yeah.
But you were when.
Yeah.
We
got. You know what I'm saying?
You can't see me though. You know what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah. Look what they got me doing. Send it to my email now. It may take up to a minute for you to receive the code. Now they're posting me a code, but they ain't sent the code.
Yeah, Instagram have a lot of hackers and folks trying to.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get that email like every other night.
Oh, so how can I just come out of it and go back to my. I can't just go back to the. Okay. I feel some security code. How can I come up out of there? Man.
Probably will have to,
just
leave it completely and then try and go back in.
Okay.
Or check your email for the security.
I checked it in.
Yeah.
Okay, see.
With a
coming up yet. Okay.
Well, it'll come up.
All right. Whew. Y'all bet with us. Better yet, we say y'all cub with us.
Cub with us.
Man.
I'm gonna have him send another.
Okay. Man, I've been calling you for the last few days. We live on YouTube, though, y'all, so bear with us. Excuse me, cub with us. Y'all know I hate doing these. I don't like drinking. I don't do no commercials of these cups. Sister B from Detroit, I got to, forgive me, I'm horrible with the emails. I've seen a little bit of what you said, what you requested. That's okay, we want to follow up with that. Some show in particular, or Sister B, did you see that? I mean, I was going to suggest this, Sister D. We talked, okay, we talked, we discussed about something particular with Mother Conrad, Frederica Newton, with both respective widows, Minister U.E.P. Newton, also Chairman Fred. I didn't get to see all of it. Did you see the piece that they did in Oakland, Sister D? And I'm going to suggest, that we replay that. I mean, that's, I only seen portions of it, you know, so let me know if you saw that, you know what I'm saying? How you doing, Sister Fremont? You have a seat. Okay,
it's not
coming
email.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same email.
Yeah. Yeah. Instagram, y'all, this account is, sir, this is why I be so passionate about it, that we got to deal with all the time. Check this Instagram one more time. You know, let me get on. Okay. 1 minute. I'm going to say, okay, we live on YouTube. It might get back to the day we got you 210 cans of the string over here, y'all, real talk. Try one more time. And now let me go through. Okay, after this, we can't waste no more time. We got to take a move. No. All right. We got to keep rolling. All right. Right before, oh, my God. Tomorrow is important. We got to do this. I got to get this fixed because tomorrow is important. Tomorrow we are having the hearing for the historical landmark status of the Hampton House. And need the Instagram. You can't make this up. So we after this. We'll deal with this later on tonight. But we got to be on point. So tomorrow, I'm gonna talk about that in a minute, y'all. Last night, pull up the site. The Maywood Village Hall meeting last night. They had a hearing in regards to the swimming pool. Who's going to, the YMCA, the park district? When I say the swimming pool, I don't want to draw any foregone clues. We're talking about the chairman for having the aquatic center. So we're going to keep y'all abreast on that. We need the people's support in regards to that, to make sure that is not seen as an eyesore. You know, it hurts to see children coming past, you know what I'm saying? It was just gate change. Locked up for years before the pandemic, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the reasons we had the Black Panther Party Clubs. We implemented the water gun fights. People say, damn, why y'all got a pool up here, you know what I'm saying? But we'll go into the more depth about where we at with that, where we at tomorrow. We need y'all participation. Even up to the point, those petitions still can be signed, so still sign those petitions going in tomorrow in regard to the Hampton House, 804 South 17th Avenue, becoming a historical landmark. So we're going to so bear with us, y'all. Those who might tell their people on Instagram, they mess with the Instagram. And that's one thing I get so passionate about. I'll be showing people a lot of times. I'll be like, this is not, and I'm self-critical. I tell my mother comrade, I said, maybe we subjective. Now, when you're in your line of work, I guess you start believing that, you know, you do believe everyone should know this. Like, you're auto mechanic. You believe, you know, you might not even be conscious that your hands are oily. You know what I'm saying? You don't be conscious. Like, it's second nature to us about, you know, communications being dismantled. You know what I'm saying? Second nature to us, agent provocateurs. You know what I'm saying? Second nature to us, you know, the news, the media, not reporting what we do. But the deal be, with black people and black organizations in particular, people have such a lack of, they come in with an arrogance. I put a quote up there that say, I can deal with ignorance. Literally can. We can deal with ignorance. Arrogance and ignorance. I mean, mind-blowing. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's mind-blowing. Let me just vent real quick. Then we're going to bring this, my sister on real quick, about just update about this. We don't care healthcare situation. We had a I'm coming out the Hampton House the other day. And I really hope this sister's listening. And the arrogance, so the sister said, so I come out, greet the sister. She going to school. She going to Irving Elementary School. This is a school that Chairman Fred attended as a child. So her, I greet her. And you could tell, I can be so damaged. You could see something. When you say, DMX said, DMX said, just greet some other black man and say, well, that brother, I love you. Watch the response you get from some people. So damaged.
Mm.
And then just say, when you say sister or brother, oh, my God, you'll be surprised. And I fight that because I don't want to become that. You know what I'm saying? That's why, I got to add this, too, for full disclosure. My tolerance level since coming back from Africa is kind of is really been like lowered. You know what I'm saying? It's lowered. I mean, that's in regards to a lot of stuff. Food, contradictions, you know what I'm saying? To see black people, you know what I'm saying? I noticed it. My tolerance level is really not what it was. You know what I'm saying? I said, damn, I'm getting old. And I said, I don't want to just, get fed up. I said, but it's like when you see something, like you have a meal. You know what I'm saying? You come out and say, man, I don't know. That ain't going to do for me right there. You know what I'm saying? So I noticed this when I'm back from Africa. My tolerance level for bullshit is kind of like, man, it's like, Lord. So I said, she said, did Fred go to this school? So it's all these telltale signs anyway, right here, So I said, yes, he attended that. You know what I'm saying? I said, he attended the school. Where did they have it in the movie? So I'm sitting here, right? I said, did you see May Wood was mentioned twice in the movie? And then the arrogant, I say, where have you been at? We've been out here, they try to turn this house to a dope house. We fighting to maintain this house. These children didn't even know who Chairman Fred was. The battle, so I'm like, who is this person, right? So then, later on, I was subjected. I said, this class arrogance over here, may well get going off. So then she told me, no, she was in Chicago, blah, blah. And I checked. And then I said, you watched the movie. She kept putting up stuff on YouTube that said Fred Hampton. Though I said, make sure you type in Chairman Fred Hampton. These are certain telltale signs. But that class dynamic, it blocks a lot of people. So they really can't hear you. And if I took some of this stuff personally, oh, my God. Deal is, a lot of people everything is political. Law man in the building, I see you, sir. Right on. Free them all. Yes, sir, my brother, right on. So we got to get my Instagram back rolling, y'all, for tomorrow, because we, put the word out tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Village Hall. And if this will be online, too, we'll be going in for the petition to have the Hampton House the historical landmark and keep abreast on what's going on about the swimming pool. Our position is that the Hampton family, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and Cool and Jerry, have to be also some decision making position in regards to this pool. This is political. As Minister UEP News said, our people do not read as much as we need to read. So we can innovate. So the pool, the history alone with him fighting to get swimming pool facilities out there in Maywood is inspiring.
Yes.
Y'all, okay. My brother Wally, I see you, man. I'm gonna talk about the students I spoke to today, and I'm gonna talk about this. I appreciate you bringing us out there. Shout out to the students over at the school, Inglewood, City First and Morgan. Right on. So you gonna step in? Who gonna speak? Y'all gonna come on with us? Okay, where it's going to be at? It's going to be at 7 p.m. Y'all need a few minutes? All right, okay. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, Maywood, 7 p.m. Central Time, Maywood Village Hall. That's at 40 Maywood, 40 Madison Street. That's what it's going to be at. I'm thinking on 5th. But this is going to be, okay, I'm glad we're getting this clear now. So 40 Madison Street, Maywood, Illinois. So I think I'll be making a statement. Yeah. Okay, that's at 40 Madison Street, Maywood, Illinois, 60153. Okay, so that's right before you get the first, I believe. I'm glad we pointed to that where we're going to be at. So, yeah, let's go. We're going to touch on a few subjects, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to go hard about this detail, but this historical landmark, y'all, before we're going to roll in with it. Any callers in queue? Is the village hall or village courthouse? Let me get that clarified. Let me know if Mary Lou is, if she's calling in also. If she's going to bring her straight in, because I have some questions I still have in regards to this process. So, Conrad Cool, if you can, give her a heads up, you know what I'm saying, to call in. Do we have any callers in queue?
If they need to press 1 if they want to be getting queue.
Okay.
We're all
callers. If you call 929-477-3785, you have to press 1 to get in. You have to press 1 to get in. You have to press 1 to get in. Okay, no Instagram. Yeah, right before this hearing tomorrow. Yes?
Chairman, I was going to mention, I didn't receive a flyer today, so I was trying to see if, you know, in any of the topics of discussion, it's not a foregone conclusion that everybody knows about the stuff that's going on in the Ukraine and Russia. But in particularly the treatment of the black people, the Africans in Russia, the Ukraine that's trying to evacuate and are being detained and subjected to the elements and discrimination, trying to flee the country of the Ukraine, but have been, some say they've been out there for a couple of days, some say they've been out there almost a week. I think today I heard that that the line is moving now in regards to evacuating the Africans out of the Ukraine. But I just was, like I said, I didn't get the flyer. I didn't see the flyer today, so I didn't know if that was on. Yeah, but we don't have to stick. We don't have to stick to the script of the flyer. We talk about whatever's going on. So I was just bringing that up into. Bring light to that for those who may not know about that.
I don't. Yeah, we just put a flyer. I know I want to just thank a lot of force we had to deal with to come in Ross Hilan. I'm coming here. We back and forth last minute with the flyer, and I made a comment. Oh, shout out to Legacy Awards too. Legacy Awards, and I had commented to Sister Kiana Barber and her mother and her family. I say, I know y'all talk about me behind my back. I said, I know I'm missed the last minute. We didn't get the last minute on certain things. And, George Floyd getting murdered. We on the way up there to Minnesota. I need some posters by the morning time. And the deal is we had to move on a pivot about a lot of our campaigns. We put the petition in, okay, right on. Thank you. Yeah. We had to move on a pivot about our campaigns. So fast forward. Russia, everything is political. Everything else, and these are intense times. And one of the dynamics about, like, something like even during the Black Power movement of the 60s, there was a time when, in many cases, when you talk about contradictions like pertaining to the black community, many times you hear us reference other communities. So people can correlate, they can relate to it. In other words, they say, like, whether it be political prisoners or whether it be lines of demarcation. You know, I think about one example. This is years back. I was in Oakland, and we were passing out flyers, and one brother had said something to me like, man, I have issues with – this is on the tenure of George Bush Sr., President George Bush Sr. He was saying something in regards to Hold that call in. No doubt. Come bring that call in right on. Got him. One second. Okay. Bring it. Okay. I said, Iraq, he said, Saddam had violated the no-fly zone. I said, well, where you get this from? How you talking about this type of term? And the deal is the ruling class has started acknowledging that. Let's talk about that, though. We're going to talk about what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, and also then in particular. Even the black people, you know what I'm saying, here, there, and everywhere. So we're going to talk about that. Let me see the time real quick. And that call, bring that call in for me real quick if you can.
All right. right. How you doing, Brother Turpin? This is Brother Ken.
Who is it?
Yeah, yeah, this is Brother Ken out of Houston, Texas. How y'all doing?
Welcome to him on radio. Okay, well, my fault. Forgive me. I was just calling about this. Still welcome. You're welcome. Welcome to him on radio. Yeah, yes, indeed. Okay, so
yes, sir.
Give me one minute. But give me a heads up if we get that 773 number. There's another call in, but it's update for the historical landmark. But without doubt, welcome to Free My Radio, and caller. You say Ken from Houston, Texas. Welcome to Free My Radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. I was hoping that you could let the people know we're trying to save Brother Otha Wallace right now. We're asking for every revolutionary to go to othal.org, othal.org, and to donate what you can and share the page so we can reach everybody, and we can start by saving this brother, and we can save many more. He's been wrongfully accused of harming a police officer down there in Daytona Beach, Florida, and we believe everybody deserves a fair day in court, so we're trying to pay for his attorney's fees. So we're please asking everybody to come together on this one thing, and that way we can come together on many.
Okay, you want to get a website again or any respect to background information? Yes, sir.
No problem. The website is othal.org. That's othal.org. Okay, and the brother is Othal Wallace. What happened was around June 23rd, of 2021, the police have a body cam video where they claim it's Mr. Othal Wallace sitting in his car at his apartment complex, minding his own business, and some say he was even celebrating his daughter's birthday that day. And then the officer who came up to him was known in the neighborhood for harassing people. He had been reprimanded before for a bad arrest where he bust somebody's head open. And he'd even been written up for crashing his squad car into two parked vehicles at a local bar. So he approached them with no reason in law to do so. And whoever was in the vehicle, they said was Mr. Wallace. You know, he seemed concerned because he was asking him questions like, do you live here? The officer was asking that. And so when the officer wasn't responding to Mr. Wallace, when he said, why, what's wrong? Mr. Wallace decided to leave, which was his God-given right to do so. And the thing about it is, you know, the body cam footage gets kind of hazy after that. You could hear a kind of a scuffle because the officer was trying to hold on to the man in the video for some strange reason. And that all reminded me of the slave codes, which said that, number one, whether you were free or enslaved, we as black people could not own a firearm in this country, and nor could you defend yourself against any wrongful actions of a slave patroller. And so we want to make sure, even though we lost so many lives on the streets, Mr. Wallace could have lost his life that night, but he was a survivor. But we don't want to let him fall to the wayside as they try to kill him still by giving him the death penalty in the courtroom. It's time for us to stand up together. We can do this legally. We can do this together. And all we got to do is just march down to othal.org, put in our donation, and share that site. Make sure we reach every one of the revolutionaries, and then we can free this man and free many, many more.
Are there any respective independent court dates coming up?
Yes, sir. He actually has one set for March 4th, this Friday, if they don't change it. It's supposed to be a case management conference. He just had, we were able to, thank goodness for all the donations that have come in already. We were able to use that as a down payment for his attorney team. So he just switched attorneys to some great, wonderful attorneys down there in Florida who handle these types of cases all the time. And so, you know, we have to pay the remaining balance, though, you know, so that they can be comfortable. Research shows that when a person has well-compensated and competent counsel, they are less likely to receive the death penalty. So even if, you know, you're not as revolutionary as some of us who believe that we have a right to defend ourselves or we have a right to be let alone when we didn't do anything to anybody, at least you can believe that we have a right to a fair trial. And and the death penalty has been overly used in this country, especially against our people. So even if nothing more, your donation will go to try to help stop that, you know. So that's what we're trying to do, bring everybody together for this one cause. You know, and it's the man's birthday this month, to be honest with you, March 30th. So, you know, it would be a great birthday present if we could really come together and help save this survivor so they won't try to take his life anyway, thinking that we're not watching.
Are there any outlets that he's spoken or is able to speak directly?
Well, he's had a problem with him being in there. They try to claim that when he speaks in public to the public, or, you know, if we talk to him and we relay a message or something, they claim that they're afraid he's going to incite violence. You know, these parts down there in Daytona Beach, Volusia County, one of the attorneys we spoke with told us how racist the sheriff is in Volusia County and the type of things that go on. When they were so-called looking for him after the incident, the chief of police was calling him names, coward, and things like that, which is not becoming of a chief of police who's supposed to be looking at people as innocent until proven guilty. So you can see the clear bias, you know, in the situation. So what we have done, we the community is working with the People's Legal Aid Project and the family to try to help pay his attorneys and bring our brother home. So we really appreciate you, Brother Chairman, for allowing us to speak on this issue. And we ask everyone again to please go to othal.org, othal.org. We think this is highly important in this day and time to hammer home, you know, the idea that we do not want you to kill our people in the streets anymore. And we think if we can bring some parity in this situation, it'll make a race soldier back up and think twice before they violate your rights.
Right on. Can you give us again, reiterate the website, any other comments that you may want to reiterate or just say for the first time? Any other social media handles or outlets that people can be familiarized with the case, and also pending court dates, as well as any contact information that people can contact with him directly, if you can't put that out for us.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you. So first of all, the website where you can donate is othal.org, othal.org. Okay, and also the family is maintaining a Instagram account, Official Legal for Wallace. That's what the number for, Official Legal for Wallace, is where you can go and follow on IG. You can follow me on YouTube. I'm at Y2 Kenyon. That's the letter Y, number 2, K-E-N-Y-O-N. All right, and of course, this organization is
what?
Say it again.
You repeat that. Two questions. Repeat that. Why two? That site is something you said. Something for Official Legal Four.
Oh.
Is that spelled out four or the number four?
The number four. Yes, sir. Official Legal Four Wallace. That's the number four. Official Legal Four Wallace on Instagram is maintained by his family, so you can keep updates with the case and the fundraisers. I can be reached on YouTube at the channel Y2 Kenyon, the letter Y, number 2, K-E-N-Y-O-N. That's me. Or feel free to email me, ken@plap.fund. Okay, so that's ken@plap.fund. That's the nonprofit organization that's bringing us together, and hopefully, you know, we can use this for many more brothers and sisters who are facing these unjust prosecutions. And certainly, Brother Chairman, we hope to work with you as well on these issues. We know that you are a powerful person in this community, and we want to work with everybody, all the revolutionaries, so that we can make sure we have a network set up and help our people and at the same time help ourselves.
Right on. Airwaves are definitely, this is a weekly program. The airwaves are more than open, so feel free to call in. This is consistent. We do a number of different shows and programs, so feel free anytime to reach out and give us any updates. I think also, I want, if there's a contact for him directly, if that can be provided. Also, a direct contact for him, Oprah Wallace.
Yes, sir. He's still locked up in Volusia County jail with no bail. And so one can reach him directly by sending messages. If you go log on to smartjailmail.com, smartjailmail.com, Volusia County, Otho Wallace, and you'll be able to send him messages and you can start corresponding. I'm sure he would love to hear from you, Brother Chairman, and I'll give him a heads up that if you guys, you know, were planning on contacting him. And like I said, you can definitely contact me, you know, offline, and we can talk in more detail. But we definitely need the entire community's help, especially individuals such as yourself. And you know, we think this is something that is nationwide importance, and that we can really help push the movement forward for good.
You said smartjailmail.com at what county?
Volusia, V-O-L-U-S-I-A. That's down there in Florida. Volusia County in Florida.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Right on. Keep us abreast. We keep us posted. Any other updates? Oh, I don't know. Did you say I missed it? That next court date. Next court date.
This Friday, March 4th, unless they change it, the next court date is this Friday, March the 4th, and that should be a case management status. So, you know, in the meantime, they're going through discovery right now. The state then put forth about 65 so-called witnesses. We know they're not going to call all of them, but these are the types of games that they play. And so his attorneys have to depose every last one of those 65 witnesses. And so, you know, we're going to stay with our brother the entire way through this. We have a lot of people suffering from very similar situations, but his case is kind of quintessential. It sums up them all. So if we can really make some headspace on his case, then we can use that as a precedent for the rest of these cases. You know, just like with Brother Huey P., State of California versus Huey P. Long, you know, although he was convicted initially, his case was overturned on appeal. And then even last year, we had a brother in Minneapolis. The police came basically shooting at people with rubber bullets. He didn't know who they were. He shot back. They put him on trial for first degree. He was acquitted. So we're going to keep this same energy going. It's just that in Florida, they only allow certain types of lawyers to handle a death penalty case. So those lawyers cost a lot of money. And, you know, our brother is indigent. He doesn't have that type of money, but he does have the love for the community. He was out there on the front lines helping the community, helping the people, and you know, and so we want to help and love him back by helping to pay for those attorneys.
Are the court proceedings, are they being convened online? Are they being showed online? They are?
Right. We're actually trying to look into that. They were at first because of, you know, the COVID protocols or whatnot, but we're not so sure now.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But they have news cameras in there, so every time they're going to come up with an update for sure. But we're going to look into seeing if we can get some cameras in there ourselves.
Keep right on. Keep us abreast. We live on the record, Freedom All Radio, making history, taking history, taping history, y'all. If you have a curfew, you might want to check. You might want to call tonight, because if you can't go to certain locations, you might want to call tonight. We may receive calls from Ghana, from Alaska, and we talking about, you know, so we're addressing campaigns from behind the walls, outside the streets, you name it. Live in the Record Freedom All Radio, weekly program of the Black Panther Party Cubs, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and also Robert Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Again, my brother, keep us abreast.
Yeah.
Appreciate your call. Call in anytime. Keep us abreast.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I didn't cut you off. Was there any more comments you want to make? We good?
I'm good. I really, really appreciate you guys' platform.
Anytime, anywhere. Right on. What's it called? Free them all. Free them all. Just put them in Florida for a minute, y'all. Y'all got the updates. Brother just called him. Updates on the Otho Wallace case. We still moving and grooving, y'all. Bring us up to speed. I know we got another call in queue.
No, sir, Chairman, no callers in queue. If they want to be in the queue, they have to press 1 to be in the queue.
You press 1 if you call us in queue. Press 1. I know we got some. Okay, press 1. And press 1. Okay. Give me a heads up. Okay, I see my brother Wayne Clark in the building. That's what it is, man. Give the Clark family y'all love, respect. My sister, welcome to Freedom All Radio. Y'all can bring us a little background. What's going on? I'm going to move this phone because our Instagram is... got me shut down for the day. I gotta get this addressed by tomorrow. So I'm gonna move a little bit. We here on camera. We got it right. I gotta be real careful with this. Okay, right there. Instagram is up. Okay. Give us the background who we have here, what's going on. I know a Jill, we talking about the We Don't Care healthcare system, but give us, take us back, you know what I'm saying? If there are people you can, feel free.
Yes, hello, it's Elizabeth, and I thank you so much, Chairman Fritz, for allowing me on your platform to tell my story. And I thank you once again, everyone that's out there who's listening to me and my daughter's story. My story is about my mother. She just recently passed away, and it's very touching, and I want this to be all around the world and heard. My mother was very wonderful. She was beautiful. She was kind. She was very intelligent, wise, a blessing mother. And the reason why I'm telling this story is I'm telling it from the heart. My mother went to the hospital, and she went there for a simple problem. She had indigestion, diarrhea, and upset stomach. And what happened was she was admitted for 3 weeks. And within the 3 weeks, you know, the coronavirus was going on, so no one was allowed to go to the hospital up there to visit her. So I would call her every day and every night. And she would reach out to me, and she says, you know, baby, I'm doing okay. So one day I was talking to her on the phone, and one of the staff members, they came in, and they said, Miss Barbara, that's her name, who are you talking to? She said, my daughter, she would like to come up here and visit me. They said, well, there's no visitations right now, but we're working on visitations, so let her know that. So I told them to tell her, Mom, okay. So the next following day was great news. They said, we worked on it. Your daughter can come up here. So I was so happy about that. So I came up there to check on my mother within 3 weeks, you know, had went by before they had told me this. But when I went up to the hospital, I was very devastated and disgusted of what I had seen about my mother. They were not taking care of my mother correctly. My mother had rheumatoid arthritis for 20 years. She could not walk, nor can she stand. So within some 20 years, I stepped in to take care of my mother because I always told my mother, you took care of me. You know, as a child, adult, and a teenager, she was there for me all of my life. And I'm pretty sure anyone out there can relate about their mother. You only get one mother. That's all you get is one mother. And I thank the Lord for allowing my mother in my life for the years and many years that she was in my life. So back to the story. When I came up to the hospital, I seen my mother, and I turned over. You know, she says, I would like for you to see something. I said, what, Mom? Why didn't you tell me what was going on? She was laying there, soiled and sore sheets. She had bed sores all up on her backside, like a dog or something had been chewing on her and everything.
Mm.
Also, my mother was kind of a little delusional. She was kind of talking off the wall. So I asked the doctor there what was going on with my mother. It was a residential doctor at the time, was not an attending doctor. He really didn't say too much to me. He's like, he really don't really know. So the nurse said, well, maybe this one of the antibiotics is giving her confusion. So as we were talking, I noticed my mother had a wound on her stomach, and it looked like it was rotten. I've been in the medical field myself for 20-some years, too, as well. And to let you know, just, you know, to go back, before she went into the hospital, I took some pictures of her. And she was not looking like that before she had left home. And they were not taken care of correctly. There was like 30 to 28 patients on the floor. There was only like 3 CNAs at the time. So I began to change my mother myself because I was not going to let her like that. So after that, I would be there day in and day out taking care of her. One night, you know how you're in the hospital and you're sitting in the chair and you kind of like fall asleep waiting on your loved one? I noticed my mother kept lifting her head up, looking at me, and I would look at her back. And she waited for me to go to sleep, but I was looking. I was like, Mom, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And she fell asleep. So I went up, and I got up, and I went over there to check up on her. I lift her hand up like this. I'm like, Mom, Mom. So I thought she was just dozing off asleep. So I left her alone. The next morning, the doctor had came up there, and he had said to me, we're going to take your mother downstairs. I didn't think nothing of it, so I said, okay. So we went downstairs to the next floor downstairs. And I sat in the recliner chair next to my mom. And I'm trying to be strong about this, you know, because it's very emotional. So I sat next to my mom in the reclining chair. As I sat next to her, Chairman Fred, you know, I have chills over my body. I kind of closed my eyes. I didn't go to sleep all the way. I just closed my eyes. But I noticed someone was standing over me. As they were standing over me, he said, Elizabeth, may I speak to you? I said, sure. Can we step in the hallway and talk to you? I'm like, sure. We need you to say goodbye to your mom. I'm looking like, what do you mean? She came in here for diarrhea. What did you guys do to her? They didn't have any words. Only one nurse said, I can give you a voucher of food. I said, this is not a time to eat right now. Are you crazy? I don't want a voucher. You guys need to explain to me what's going on with my mom. So they begin to want me to sign some papers that I didn't understand. So at that time, I called my daughter up there, and I said, you guys here right now, my family. So my daughter, she arrived up there and everything, and she came in the room. We watched my mom heartbeat from 27 to 1 beat, a zero a minute. I thank the Lord for allowing me to see my mom's heart go from there in her last breath, because everyone cannot say they have experienced that. And I was there by my mom every step of the way of her journey within 20 years of her not walking. I said, Mom, just because you can't walk, my legs are your legs. Anywhere you want me to walk, I'll go. Anywhere you want me to reach, I'll reach. And within that minute was a beautiful thing, because I knew that I did right by my mom by taking care of her. A lot of people would put their loved ones in a nursing home, but I didn't. So at that time, I heard some commotion in the hallway. I kind of went to the door, and I looked, and I peeked. It was my son-in-law. He was having some words with a security guard. I didn't know what they were arguing about, but I guess it got out of hand, and the nurse stepped in the room as I was over my mother. And I was just over my mother crying. My mother could not speak, but before she passed away, a tear rolled out of her eye. She was very strong. She fought a good fight. And the nurse told me, as they were having commotion, everyone leave, including you. You know, they want black people to act crazy. They want us to act out of character. So I humbly said, ma'am, are you sure that's what you want me to do? At that time, I walked out the room. I went downstairs. I took a deep breath. Then when I went downstairs, my daughter was downstairs because she had stepped out the room. She says, Mom, what's wrong? I said, they asked me to leave out. Mom, why? I said, I don't know why. So then the security guard came back and told me, oh, there was a commotion going upstairs, and the nurse said this. And I said, I don't have anything to do with what's going on with my son-in-law. I dare you pull me away from my mom while she's deceased. That is mentally disturbing. That is sick. No one should experience that. So at the time, I was all over the place. I was looking through my phone. The first number that popped in my phone was Chairman Fred. He walked me through. He said, down, I got you. And today, I thank him for allowing me to be on this platform to tell my story. It's not about the money, because money cannot bring my mother back. I'm pretty sure a lawyer is going to reach out to me about this story and everything. And yes, justice will be served about my mother, because no one should be treated like that. There's pictures, there's videos. I begin to take my phone out. I begin to video everything. They strapped my mom down, putting some type of fluid in her. I said, if my mom is passing away, how come you guys have her strapped down? Because they were covering something up. And I don't care how they feel. This story will be told on different platforms. And I thank you, Chairman Fred, for allowing me to come here to tell my story. I'm going to pass the mic to my daughter.
Madam, on this, first and foremost, the people's pain reflects our ongoing condolences. There is no statute limitations for the crimes committed against our people, no time limit on the pain we go through. And, we try to, like, I think they say in martial arts, so even in boxing, when it spread throughout the body, you don't hit as hard. So, and the deal, and I was talking earlier about subjectivity, like me and I, but the people, the deal is, in one way or another, all of us impact. When Tupac talked about, said, Brenda's got a baby, and the guy said, well, what they got to do with us? The impact of, you know what I'm saying, anything happening at one of those, any place in my community, our people, the people's pain reflects. So again, I'm going to say our condolences.
Thank you.
And we on deck to continue to fight for justice, no doubt about it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brandy. This is my mother, Elizabeth. Yes, as she was telling the story about my grandmother, which is tragic to our family, what I can recall when she passed is when she went into the hospital, first of all, she only went in there, like my mom said, for her bowel movements. She was walking. I mean, she wasn't walking. She was talking and everything like that. So I was talking to her on the phone, like, every day. It's really ironic to see your grandmother go from talking to not talking. So that's kind of shocking to me. How did she go into the hospital talking, communicating, eating by herself, and then coming out deceased? I'm very, very close to my grandmother. I actually was living with her. Me and my mom was taking care of her. We're the only ones really doing everything for her. My grandmother is my world. I love her to death. I did, that's my grandma. I did everything for her. But it hurts me so much because, you know, during the time of COVID, I couldn't see her. And that was hard for me because I see my grandmother every day. The only person that could go up there was my mom. I'm thankfully that she was able to go up there, but I couldn't see her. Only thing I can do was talk to her. So the day that I actually was able to see my grandmother was the day of her death, which was very breathtaking. The day that my mom called me to come to the hospital and tell me that my grandmother only had a couple minutes to live, I couldn't believe it. I wasn't ready to let her go. I thought when I got there that she was going to come back because I didn't want to accept her being gone. I wasn't ready to accept. When they told me, Brandy, you need to get yourself prepared, I'm like, don't tell me that my grandma's going to be okay. You know, there's nothing going on with her. As soon as I got to the hospital, I immediately went upstairs and I was like, Nanny, I call her Nanny. I've been calling her that all my life. I said, Nanny, get up. I'm here now. You can wake up now. I immediately said that, and I noticed that she didn't wake up. It took me a minute to suck everything in. And everybody around me kept saying, Brandy, you have to let her go. She's not. And I'm like, I'm not about to let her go. I'm not. And I just began to cry and scream because at that point in time, I knew that she was on. I watched the numbers go down and down till she had no breath at all. I couldn't bear it anymore. I left out. I saw my mom over there. I left out, went downstairs. At that point in time, I did hear some commotion going on. I think my husband, he had the kids at the house. I have two kids. So my husband, my mom, I was like, you have to get up here. You know, Nanny's gone. He's the only one did not get to see my grandmother, and he lived with us. He came up to the hospital. We got a babysitter for the kids. I don't know what happened downstairs with the security guard, but they did not let him up. And they got it. It was a big thing. Securities came. And from that point, they said we all have to get out the room. He's the only one that did not get to see her. From that on, my mom was downstairs. They said she couldn't go back in the room. They told us that, you know, your time is up. You guys, you know, you can't see your grandmother anymore. we were hysteric. Like, how can you kick somebody out the room for seeing their loved one?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And how is there a time on seeing your loved one?
That is true.
And then tell me, not to cut you off, sweetie,
mm-hmm.
and then tell me that I'm allowed to come back. I dare you. Dictate how long I have with my mother. She's laying there deceased. This is a beautiful thing because there's so many things that flash in your mind as a child to an adult to a teenager.
And we were just cooperating. You know, we didn't get rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, COVID was going on. You know, it was three people at a time, so three people came down and then other people came up. We didn't really even have family in Chicago. It was just my mom, my dad, my brother, and my aunt that was living, which is my mom's sister. And then my husband came up there. So it wasn't even a lot of people to come up, you know, like that. So I don't understand why they had the audacity to tell us that we couldn't, you know, be in there no more. But they asked my mom to come back.
Because they knew they were wrong, Chairman Fred.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was.
I just talked about,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say the hospital. That's why I did not mention it. Because that's something you don't want to do at this time.
I'm going to give them other questions, okay.
And the thing is, though, I have been asked to be on other platforms, but I wanted to come to Chairman Fred platform because he's the first person that I called.
Mm-hmm.
And everything happens by coincidence, not by coincidence, for a reason. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was there to support me.
Yeah.
And I love his mother so much, not to change the story, but I love his mother. She was there for me in 2013.
Talked to Annie before, too.
Yes, talked to my mother. She was there for me in 2013 when my father had passed. It was in a winter storm, and she was trying to get there, support me, not just change the story. But for some reason, they always been in my circle. And I called him
mm-hmm.
the other day, and I was like, Chairman Fred, you know? He's like, you know what? Basically, I have you come up here. So I thank her for that. And, you know,
yeah.
I believe everything happens for a reason in 360, and it's on God's timing, not on our timing, but on God's timing. And, you know, before my mom passed away, she was talking to Chairman Fred's mom. She spoke to her. They had maybe some words. I don't know exactly what, but, you know, some words. And coming to find out, my mom went to school with Chairman Fred's father. So that's why I said everything happens for a reason. But I want the world to know what happened to my mother.
A woman goes in the hospital talking and come out deceased.
Yeah.
And getting kicked out of the hospital for no apparent reason that we didn't have no control of the situation that was happening.
And basically, Chairman Fred, I thank you for allowing me and my daughter to be here on your platform, and I want justice for my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, one of our mantras with us, the Black Panther Party Clubhouse, the streets are our office, our work hours are 24 hours a day. Our secretaries are
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters out on the street corners. And I tell a lot of times when we're doing these cases, people say, man, Chairman, the political stats and facts you put out there. I said, no, don't take it. I say, we move, we're scientific with this. We know the people, it's not our first contact when something happens, you know, some tragedy happens. The case of Jacob Blake, who was shot in Wisconsin, police, me and his uncle, Justin Blake, had just did an event on the south side of Chicago. And meanwhile, prior to, you know, some years back, we used to want to do it before the movie, do some Black Messiahs for that. We had put together an independent piece. I remember telling the director to do some Black Messiahs. We made a movie on the Chairman Fred. In fact, we had Mos Def was supposed to come in and play Chairman Fred. Lady Raven shot her role.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we was filming this group, a scene, and y'all, they both came through.
Mm-hmm.
We were filming a few, this is years back.
Put it kind of in context,
I'm saying for a number of reasons. I can't think exactly what year, but it was a while back. Yeah.
I have pictures of
that. Yeah. And we want, we have to, I know it's difficult, that have you term that community, and but the deal is gentrification, what you call land grab. Our communities are so destabilized, but the deal is we have to be able, know who to reach out and stick in, like some sort of structure. And like you said, she said you called me. And I remember when you had called me, it was going out. I had dispatched one of my Plan B guys, brother named Paul.
Yeah.
I sent Paul to go down there and check it out. And Paul, his brother had just died. Like some days before this. And the deal is we got to really like this. I look forward to the day and age, and where there's clarity in our community. Like a lot of times people be saying, I was just coming to someone the other day talking about this whole thing about the NFL being rigged. And I said, damn, I thought everybody knew that. I just thought everybody knew NFL elections are rigged. And like even when we talk about different organizations in our community, I tell people, I say the word sellout is so overused. Just to even know in the 60s it was a climb where people knew who was who, because it's like time, like it's the ruling class. If you a fire happens, they know, okay, call the fire department. So you're not going to the pet store. You know who is who. And we really have to really get a clarity, a structure of who to move, how to move, and as soon as stop, drop, and roll, we get that phone call, and we're not at the desired stage we have. We can be able to dispatch ambulance and so on and so forth. But during the Black Power movement in the 60s, it was a clarity on the move and the need for such organizations. Because a lot of times we want to believe that we all can do the same thing. Our position is that we do need different religious institutions in our community. But also, we need to distinguish that, a freedom-fighting organization is going to call the question. And we're going to let people know that, that we're here. In fact, when I imagine the Black Panther Party Cubs are here, we base that. And we want people to know it from people's truth, not this generation, but when people knew you have certain numbers to call, you get in trouble. So we want people to know who we are, where we at, We are every win is locked and low. We're not hard to find, And so, again, I can't reiterate enough, we are here, so keep us abreast where we at with this here. And just even, even going through the whole case of Ronnie Man Johnson, who her son was killed on 53rd and King Drive, Chicago Police. And I hadn't seen her in years. But, they knew through the door. Say, man, call Chairman Fred. I mean, we went to go meet, and Wallace and Catfish going on the west side. I remember with the Justin Jacob Blake case. As soon as I got there, they had all the meeting lawyers. His father went straight through the crowd. He said, man, where the chairman at? So, it serves also for our protection. So, that we got institutions, And we fighting for that day and age where it's known all over. And we're not hiding about it. We call who's a criminal, who's from the state, and obviously say, well, no, what about when it's a black on black crime? We deal with that. However, we call out the contradictions, but without the support of the people, we can't be alive. So we need y'all's support. We need y'all to acknowledge that, again, the people are our best security. Free Marcha. Okay, she's calling in. Yeah. Okay, right on. I'll see you right on. Okay, give us any social media, any contact that people can be kept up to date, what's going on, or people can contact y'all, how they can support, whatever the case may be.
Yes, I feel like far as contact, if you want to contact me, of course, my name is Elizabeth. You can go through Chairman Fred. He has my personal number, and he will call me and give me the information of whoever wants to help us with this situation, because like I said, it will be on different platforms. This is the first platform that we have brought this story to because I trust him. Not only is he a good person, I trust him. And I don't want to just put this in anyone else's hands because, of course, there's going to be a lot of lawyers coming at me because of what's going on. Of course, because we were removed from my mother while she was deceased and everything like that. So I just thank him for allowing us to be on this platform. And also, I would like to share with the world a picture of my mother, how they did her, because like they did Emma Till's son, she was not afraid to show that. It was an open casket. I'm just going to show a little clipping of what they did with my mother just to let you know why I'm coming forward with this story. How they left her, and this is not acceptable. As you guys can see this picture, I'm going to try to put it up a little close. I should have sent it to you, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, well, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I'm not going to send this to her.
And I did find a picture of us back a long time ago. That was in 2014.
Do you mind sharing your mother's name?
Yes, her name is Barbara, ma'am. Barbara. Is there any more questions for me, ma'am, regarding my mother?
Barbara Mann, you said?
Barbara Miller.
Barbara Miller.
Barbara Miller. Got it.
Yes. All right, my daughter.
Justice for Barbara Miller.
Yes, ma'am. Also, during the indication of what happened with my mother, you guys can see that picture, Chairman Fred. You want to see that? This is not acceptable. That's how they left my mother's back.
So this is her in the hospital.
And that's her backside. And there was a surgery given to her that was not properly taken care of, that rotten in her stomach as well. And due to the surgery, my mother had congestive heart failure, meaning that she should not have that surgery because I was her power attorney at the time. She was not in her right mind. And there was no paper signed for that. So, therefore, they went against my consent and also my mother's consent for that surgery.
Negligence.
Yeah, so, yes, malpractice and negligence, as you said, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
So, at the time, there were videos taken, and I began to take out my phone and take a lot of photos. And I also was doing some recordings, and I know when you're recording someone, you got to let them know that they're being recorded. So, therefore, I let them know they were being recorded, too, as well, because I was like, you guys are not getting away with this. So I had to think quick. And when you are all over the place, I had to pick myself up together and be strong and do the right thing by my mother. And that's why I'm bringing this story to the world. Thank you so much, Chairman Fred, for allowing me to tell my story as a friend. And your mother is so wonderful. And everyone. Thank you.
Anytime. We are servants of the people.
Thank
we are honored. We are honored and humbled to serve. We are live and direct again at Free of My Radio. Keep us, y'all, we'll keep y'all abreast. Again, 929-477-3785. We're moving and grooving in the spirit of internationalism. We're traveling the world, putting these campaigns in an objective political context, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So, again, make sure y'all taking notes. If you got your iPads, whatever, taking notes about all these, what's going on throughout the world. Live in that Red Free of My Radio. Anytime, my sister. Anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, right on. So, keep us at the breast. And just, again, I can't reiterate enough the relationships we got to have in the community so we can be able to hit those, like speed dial, you know what I'm saying? I got the deal is, there's a difference between the war and the revolution. War, two occupying armies, suit up and boot up and get out to get out. Revolution, you gain the mass and participation of the mass of the people, you know, in their structure. I got the phone call. I was able to dispatch another one of our forces over there, you know what I'm saying? And Paul, I remember that. His brother, Jesse, we was challenging the hospital about some contradictions even there. And so, again, we got to be able to move, you know what I'm saying? The streets, that's our office. I work God's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, continue club and community condolences. Keep us abreast. We got y'all back like a backpack. Got your chest like a bulletproof vest. Okay, bring me a call. Call in Q. I need the local number too. Cause I think we're talking about there's a local call. Call in. Stay the whole day. Okay. Yeah. You want to call? Remember y'all on our co-host said she remember y'all on the shoot video shoot the movie shoot. Yeah.
Yep. I have the picture.
2014. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
They didn't believe we were going to do the movie before this movie came out. I said, yeah, we've been working on this. Who? Yes, indeed. Wow. Yeah.
We were talking and everything.
I was a little thinner then, too. What'd you say, co-host?
I said, we were talking. They hung out the whole day. We were talking. Scene where Minister Doc Satchel was talking. They were in that scene, and they were in another scene.
Yes, indeed.
I think it was two scenes they were in.
Yeah. Right on. Yes, indeed. Comrade, you get that call in queue? I think it was for Mary Lou call in queue.
Yes, sir, Chairman. Call
224-622.
You in queue. Call 224-622.
Hey, good morning. Or good evening.
Welcome,
sorry.
Caller.
I know what day it is. This is Mary Lou.
Good evening. I'm well. This end, a little, what's the word you anticipate? What's the word I'm looking for? Anxious on the eve of this, for tomorrow. Also, for the, this hearing in God's historical landmark, I just wanted to say, commend, say appreciate you, Mayor Luke, the participant media team, all those who have signed those signatures online, people who have been coming through signing the signatures. I wanted to get you on bring you on to just give, if you can, give us what's going on, because this is new ground for a lot of people, including in particular myself. What are we looking at tomorrow, and what's the follow-up process, and what does this mean, the historical landmarks, so people can understand the significance of this. So if you can, let us, bring us to the speed.
Sure. Well, yeah, so I'm Mary Lou Seidel, Director of Community Engagement with Preservation Chicago, and we submitted the application. You took the application over last week to Village Hall and had it formally submitted, but we'll go before the Maywood Historic Preservation Commission tomorrow because we are seeking a landmark designation for the childhood home of your father, Chairman Fred Hampton. There are about 25 landmarked homes in the village of Maywood, and from my preliminary research, not one of them honors a person of color. They're all old, dead white people, right? So As a white historic preservationist, I have to be very full disclosure, this is what we're working very desperately to change in the world. But in particular, there are certainly famous people from Maywood, but the legacy and the reach and the power of your father's legacy is something that needs to be recognized by the village of Maywood and elevated. Some towns, this process tomorrow, it's first meeting. If they agree, they're going to vote on to preliminarily advance it to the next level, and then it goes to a public hearing. After the public hearing, the Historic Preservation Commission votes on it again, and then it goes to the village board for the final vote. So it's a little bit of a process. It'll probably be 3 or 4 months before it's over. But I think the importance of it is to put up on Maywood's website and in everybody's minds the significance of this place, right? Some people say, in historic preservation, you want to honor the place where the action happened, right? So where he was born, not so important as where he lived when he started his activism and when he, we can only go off of his childhood home because he barely had an adulthood to live, so... That's what we, this home and the home where he was murdered was demolished. Chicago has done its very best to erase Black Panther history, right? They demolished the headquarters. They demolished the house. Right now we thought we were in line to get the vacant lot next to the house where your dad was murdered. And now they're doing this. Ooh, we think we already committed it to somebody else. Yeah, we're going to call. We're going to keep on them on that one, but all of these efforts, if we can start offering tours of the places where the Black Panther Party in Illinois operated and where your father gave some of his greatest speeches, and really tell the story of that history, how it was erased, how the Chicago Police Department and the FBI worked hand in hand to assassinate your father it's a story that needs to keep being told. Now, today, in 2022, as much as it did in 1969. So it's taking a place in this historic preservation world, which is pretty woefully underrepresented by sites of significance for people of color, and elevating this. You know, some cities, sometimes when you're landmarks, you might be able to be eligible sometimes for grants to do improvements on the house, or, you know, some grants for programming. It really tells the village of Maywood, and it tells the world that Maywood cares about their history, and they care about Fred Hampton. They are proud of the influence he's had on the world, and how his core education in school, anyway, came from their village. Mm. You know, everything.
Let me say again, appreciations. Like even, and just I'm pointing out a few things, and like a lot of times people don't know them. I mean, I guess the difficulty that comes with, you know, just for this, you know, these type of conversations to happen. These are intense times, and historic moves are made during intense times. And you would think it's a no-brainer, you know, saying just designate. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that the building is still there, the fact that the actual school, elementary school that he attended, is still across the street. The high school he attended is across the street. You know, and then that's known that we're going to mention it, the place which, as you said, we're going to push for that also, the vacant lot, right, where he was assassinated, along with Defense Captain Mark Clark. And this is, you know, and this is a time where certain discussions, certain terms are being acknowledged publicly. There's a big, you know, debate in regards to what they refer to as critical race theory. Again, critical race theory, where, you know, some people saying, you know, should this even, should certain information even be mentioned, not whether you disagree with it, not that though. And I, you know, this is, and people have to have not only they have the critical analysis to be able to, like, I tell people, like, even like the Panther Party would have these mock trials, and where the cases would be convened, and the information and the evidence or whatever brought forward to the people, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like a dictator, but this is information people have, and the Panther Party also said that information is raw material for new ideas. I spoke at an elementary school today, and I said to the students, it's not by coincidence that you all do not know, you know, much information about Chairman Freedom Black Panther Party. So we want to encourage, again, everyone to really be on board. We're pushing for everything in regards to this status, and it's approach is Mary Lou just pointed out, it's a protracted, you know, it's not, you know, I know people say, you go in tomorrow and that's it, you know, this is not even the first stage. This is, you know, again, part of the process.
Right.
The swimming pool, the aquatic stuff, we're talking about that too. These are conversations that people, there's no way, I mean, Maywood, I think, is what, 21, 23 blocks. It's illogical that every household should know, doesn't know who this person is. So we're going to need, someone said, you can go to SaveTheHamptonHouse.org up until the last minute tomorrow. And let me, a question, because I know I've seen something earlier. It'd be you, myself, and I think my mother, according to Jerry, she would definitely be there making a statement. This is on, where is this? Is this the Village Hall? What's the address? 40 West?
Yeah. I'm going to follow up the address. Right. I think the meetings are held. I'm not as familiar with Maywood as you are. So you got to tell me. I know you dropped the packet off at one address, but let me just look for the agenda while we're talking. You know, you were talking a minute ago about Emmett Till and how people haven't heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people haven't heard of him, which is always stunning to me. But when we worked with the family, with Emmett Till's surviving family members to landmark the home where he and his mother lived when he was murdered, and people on his street didn't know, people who lived on his block. I mean, granted, it was 1955, but there's a lot of people in the neighborhood who absolutely remember Emmett Till. They went to school with him. their parents knew Mamie, you know, and you go up and down his block, and some people don't know that Emmett Till lived right here. He played right on the street.
Yeah, which is, by the way, that's on 65th of St. Lawrence, correct?
Yeah, 6427 South St. Lawrence Avenue.
6427 South St. Lawrence. Ironically, I mentioned before, ironically, the relationship with my grandparents and Emmett Till as a child, and then ironically, on my paternal side, my father's side, my maternal side, my grandmother stayed on 64th and St. Lawrence. I, as a child, I stayed over there, so it's something.
Wow.
We get the connections, you know. Yeah, yeah.
And then when your grandmother lived in Summit, she used to babysit for Emmett Till, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I watched that film, I was researching for the Landmark nomination for the Till home, and I jumped up out of my seat. I was like, what? Fred Hampton's mom babysat for Emmett Till?
Wait, I got to see this. We just did a powerful panel last week. What's his name? He was at the house. He was also the one that came and got Emmett Till. He was Emmett Till's cousin. He was at the house. I just did a panel with him last week.
I gotta get
in contact with him again, ASAP. But we just did a powerful panel, and it's still some, you know, people who were alive during these situations that were there, that people really going to, you know, say, again, we must really see the time that, and have these discussions now, you know, while people are still around, you know. So, again, this is, let's have more panels. Even inclusive with this campaign to have this historical landmark. We'll tell people, you know, say, this is a subject that we encourage people to talk about, you know, in their household, the barbershops, you know what I'm saying, dance hall, wherever you at, whatever's going on, you know, have this discussion about these historical landmarks. You know, again, this is something that you can touch and grasp, and people, in many cases, who people were actually there, you know. And I guess even there are people who have been coming up saying they find them more old pictures of, you know, Chairman Fred. Once the discussion starts opening, the sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So a brief statement we give it, or this is a long, because this really is kind of like breaking the ice tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, I'm gonna present the landmark nomination formally. I'm gonna do it as briefly as possible, and let you and your mother take the floor and talk about what this means for Maywood and for your family and for your father's legacy. And for the world, it's not just Maywood, it's the world. His words and his actions in his brief 21 years changed the world and changed the way people feel about the possibilities. His murder was very, it was meant to discourage that hope. It was meant to make people run away and stop fighting. But those of us who still believe that you can knock me down as many times, but I'm going to get up just one more time than you knock me down, and we're going to keep going.
Yes, indeed.
And that critical the critical race theory. As a white woman, you know, I'm real sorry that some of us are so fragile we can't bear to hear the truth about what we did to people in this country, and we still do to the people in this country. It's painful.
Yes.
My granddaughter's in kindergarten. She came home the week leading up to and around Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And I said, well, what did you learn about Martin Luther King today? Oh, he did really good things for the world. I'm like, oh, man, I don't care if they're just in kindergarten. You can't. he did real good things. He tried to make the world.
His legacy is limited to this one soundbite of a speech. And you listen to some of his speeches, I'm talking about, oh, man, I mean, deep, in-depth discussion, you know what I'm saying? Most people just giving this cut down, minimized, you know, this one soundbite of a speech. And
it's a detriment, you know what I'm saying, to history, you know what I'm saying, to people's minds and everything, you know. So we really have to fight for this climate to have these type of conversations, you know, regardless where people, someone may reside on the political spectrum, but to have the discussion, at minimum.
Yeah.
And
right, and when they, when you're talking about Martin Luther King.
Give us again, are you going to give the time, and people can see this online tomorrow. I got to get my Instagram fixed before the night, before tomorrow morning, because this is tomorrow at 7 p.m. We're going to be, update, like giving people live updates. I want to, again, thank you, participant media, the consistent media, back and forth last minute, emails, Rosie and the rest of Michaela, the rest of the crew, constantly, you know what I'm saying, the behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of times people don't see what's going on. Again, the breaking of the eggs and chopping of the onions and tomatoes before the omelet is put out there, you know what I'm saying? And again, I just really, appreciate this, you know what I'm saying, because this is intertwined with the house. This is, because we say the half the house is bigger than the building and more significant than the structure. It's a spirit, it's an energy, it's a polity that comes with it. It's inclusive to us, and to go against all odds, to that a struggle. You know, and that's the campaign, man. The house encompasses that, and we want to encompass that spirit. So we're going to go in there tomorrow, and we're going to also keep us abreast, too, about this vacant lot on the west side. So we don't want to drop the ball with that. We're going to multitask. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Let's see how we looking on time.
So the meeting tomorrow, March 3rd, is at 7 p.m., and it is at 125 South 5th Avenue, or 5th Street. I don't know if they're avenues or streets, in Maywood. And there's about 12 items on the agenda, but the real substance of one is number 7, the Hampton House nomination. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. And as you're, as people are learning about history, I was just on a call earlier tonight. Fannie Lou Hamer is probably one of my favorite civil rights warriors from the day. And, people know if people know Martin Luther King and if they know Rosa Parks, they don't know Fannie Lou Hamer or Gloria Richardson, all these really, Fannie Lou Hamer was a sharecropper. She didn't have, she didn't graduate high school. She might not have finished grade school, but she knew what the people needed, and she fought for it for as hard as she could. She had disabilities. She had many kids to take care of, and she just kept fighting until she didn't have any fight left in her. She passed away.
Yeah.
So,
sick
and tired. Exactly. That's what she said.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what she used to say. I was
sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. Yeah. Phenomenal. Long live the legacy and the history of Fannie Lou Hamer. These are need to know people, who stood up under contested conditions, y'all. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
We got our
people
out.
Yeah,
we clear tomorrow.
I also want to just send my love to Elizabeth, who was just speaking about her mother, Barbara Miller. That just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
No daughter, no human being should go through that. No daughter or family should have to see that. And until those things end forever, we keep fighting.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Right on. I'm definitely going to pass
that along. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
And that's
looking forward
to tomorrow.
Sorry,
again, appreciate you. We appreciate participants, appreciate the people, all those signatures, those been coming through, Randall, Ben, Anthony Clark, the list goes on and on, all the events that we've been doing, again, let's continue to make history, let's continue to take history, let's continue to tape history. I don't take it for granted we are able to go to this, at the same house that Chairman Fred grew up in. The discussion, sometimes I just sit there and flashback, and I hear about children in the school across the street. They say the children be debating, like, man, I'm sitting at his desk, this is his desk. And it just, it's a world figure, came from a place that's, grew up in a place that's geographically small, but it represents a political giant. Geographically small versus political giant. We talk about the Maywood, Illinois. Come on, see for yourself, 804 South 17th Avenue. Tomorrow, 125 Fifth Avenue, 7 p.m. We'll be giving these statements. We're going to document this here, and we'll keep y'all abreast of the process about getting the chairman for a historical landmark in Maywood, 25 of the homes, no people of color, none. I mean, now these contradictions, it just seems normal. Actually, sad thing, it is normal. We gonna up the ante. We're going up the ante.
Yeah.
Up the ante. You know what I'm saying? We're going to fight for the swimming pool to be open. You know what I'm saying? The same house community garden is in discussion to be relocated. We're going to continue to feed the people. We're going to continue to serve the people. You know what I'm saying? And we will keep y'all abreast, y'all. Anything we missed in the closing? Any other comments, Myrtle?
No. It's just really grateful to be here. It's an honor. It's an honor to be doing something in 2022 to continue the legacy of Fred Hampton. So we're glad to be here.
Appreciate you. Thank you for being here. This is live. Co-host, anything you want to close the comments, Coles?
No closing comments. My condolences to we want justice for Barbara Miller, and my condolences to Elizabeth and her daughter. Once again, excited about tomorrow. You know, this legacy must continue, and this is the beginning of it all. Yep.
Another episode, y'all. Again, let me commend Frederica Newton, Nicole and Jerry, the CRC in Oakland, California. Such a committee, all Oakland still rumbling from the energy there. Keep y'all posted. Y'all stop what y'all doing. Get online. Watch what's happening tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Time. In regards to this process about getting the house of Chairman Freddie B. Historical Landmark. In the meantime, between the time, and after that, keep y'all heads up, eyes over the fence clinch. Represent love, respect, keep us posted. Let's make history, let's take history, tape history. What's the call? Free them all. Take us on out.
Free them all.
Love, respect. I'm on the air right now. On the radio right now. I'm coming here for 5 minutes. Yep. Yeah, we here.
Make sure you get that
answer. Right, yes, indeed. All right, appreciate you. I'll see you tomorrow. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. Thanks.
I hope this brother, still stay look good to stick with us because, man, ooh.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Rough. All right. Thank you again. So, look, Mary Lucida, she's on the job with this whole campaign, Landmark Standard Participant Media. Yeah, I'm talking about, man, on deck. Yes, indeed. So it's D from the D. Hunter. Remind me that you said about that idea. Let's replay that for people who didn't see that. The program with Frederica Newton and Corey Jerry. And I'm down for getting them on, do a show with them. But let's replay that, you know, all day also. I mean, for one of the shows. All right, brother comrade, but the few miles, we'll get on music to take us out. First Sergeant Dobie, right on. Appreciate you all, right on. Sister from the D, always, man. Love, respect, free them all. Look at this. Okay.
Let's go, free them all.
See these names. Free them all. Hands beat you, right on. Free them all. Sister D from Detroit.
You said bring in that
call and Hakeem Williams. Do we got time? Okay.
I don't know.
824, we got time, bro. You got to do it. You got to talk like me. You got to come on with it. That's so fast.
I'm letting
them in.
510. Free them all.
510. Okay. You're going to free them all. Right. Hey. Freedom to all, man. I called in late. I guess I made it. I've been promoting this opportunity, this simple path to economic empowerment for our people. I'm rooting for everybody black. Just because I'm rooting for everybody black don't mean I'm hating everybody that don't look black or ain't of African descent. You know, create a free account at themagnificentdom.com. Then copy after you create a free account, it's automatically gonna generate a email, right? You gotta go to your email account that you used, and you gotta click the verification link to create the account. That's gonna activate your account. Then go back to your account.
Give us the background. Who's calling? What are we talking about? Give us the background.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. From the free accounts, we raising $1 billion with a B, okay? For, I got a lender right now that wants to loan us $100 million for purchasing.
Who's calling? I'm talking about anybody else that wants to create the free account.
Right?
No. Who are we speaking with?
All right, hear me.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody that's interested in contributing towards the economic
advancement
of our people.
Who are you?
I'm Demetrius Brown. The Magnificent
Okay,
Nine.
Okay, forgive
me.
Forgive me. But help us out, Demetrius Brown. This great idea about making this $1 million, but could you give us a background?
Yeah.
What's going on? I know we're on time, but could you give us, I can answer any and all questions.
We could talk until the world ends. That's apparently what it's going to take, because I've been trying to get this word out for 30 years. I'm Demetrius Brown, my great-grandfather. We did talk. You and I talked. We talked 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on the radio, right? Huey P. Newton's
Okay. You called in. We saw another subject.
Yeah.
I met your amazing mother, man. Your mama's spirit is so beautiful, man.
I had the honor of meeting her face-to-face, man. She blessed me. She saw me dancing and sent security over to come bum rush me. I thought I got myself kicked out the club for dancing. Uh-oh, we there? Hello? Did I lose you? You cut me off? You kicked me off to talk about your mama? I'm sorry. Hello? We still there. Did I lose you? Hello? Uh-oh. I'm still on the radio. Hello? I dropped the call. Hello? You kicked me off. Hello? Hello, hello? Is this thing on? Hello? Oh, man, see that. I mean, see how they work. See how they be doing.